You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Would you join me for a word of prayer? Blessed Lord, we come from the busyness of our lives, from the craziness of our schedules, from the many demands upon our time and our energy to make time for you, trusting that you will speak in and through your words and feed us at your holy table. Grant us now to feast upon him who is brought to us by the Scriptures, the true bread of heaven, even Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. So, I'm taking over a lesson. Okay. So last week was kind of fun. It was a kind of a get up and go sermon. And pastors are used to getting, and preachers in general, used to getting comments at the back of the sanctuary at the end. And last week inspired one of my favorite ones I've ever heard in 20 years of preaching. One of our members came up to me and said, "I could run through a brick wall right now." I was like, "Well, I'm glad the Lord used that message in that way." But I thought to myself after I was reflecting on it Monday or Tuesday, and I thought to myself, you know, probably for everyone, one person who felt that way, there are probably three or four people who went, "Oh, I'm just exhausted thinking about it." And that's my experience too. I mentioned a little bit in my children's sermon. This is the guy I train with for karate every Monday night. Some of you met him. He was at our spaghetti dinner last year. He'll probably come back this year because he likes to eat. This is him kicking at age 60. Now, he's had knee surgery since then, so he can't kick quite as high, but I am sure he could punch a hole in whatever he aims that foot at. And when I think about Monday nights, on the one hand, I look forward to them, and on the other hand, what I really feel is this. Because typically, we start with 5 to 1,500 reps of strength training. And then we get an hour of pain after that as we work on skill building. Skill building includes bruising your arms properly so you can take it. Fatigue gives birth to a whole constellation of feelings and emotions that just want to make you feel planted in place. And it is because of fatigue that we need to learn how to rest. And so that's where we're up to in our retreat acronym, where we've gone through reading scripture, we've reflected upon it, we have discerned the response God is calling for us to join in with him in response. But then we need to rest. Marva Dawn wrote this book years and years ago, actually several years before I converted to Christianity. I had the privilege of getting to know her and spend some time with her. And you notice that the title of this book, Keeping the Sabbath Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And her adverbs are ceasing, resting, embracing, feasting. But what I want to draw your attention to here is the cover. Way too much to cover in this book in a sermon. But notice the green and the warmth. This reminds me of Jacobsburg Park, one of my favorite places to take a walk, not too far here from the church. And it's meant to remind us of the book of Genesis, of the Garden of Eden. And we just heard the end of the first creation account in Genesis. And as humanity is created as the pinnacle of day six, we are told by God what our response is to be to his creating us. Be fruitful and multiply and go forth and fill the earth and subdue it. Now, this is not a call for us to be tyrants because we were made in God's image. We are meant to mediate God's presence to His creation. We are to care for His creation the way He would, because we're in His image. We're to be priests to creation. But that's not the first thing we get to do. See, that's our commission. That's our response. But the first thing we get to do is rest. Because you notice that's the end of day six. What's the next thing? Is day seven. The first thing a nascent humanity gets to do is rest. Rest in God. And that's the first of Dr. Dawn's adverbs here, ceasing. What we need to do when we know this big task is ahead of us is stop. Stop. See if you can complete this phrase for me. Don't just sit there. Do something. Do something. We are called to a response. We need to be, though, very clear. We are not to be so busy doing something that that's all we're to do. We are called to work from our rest. So I love the way Ken Howell, who helped inspire this sermon series, said it at our pastor's retreat. He said, I like to reverse it and say, instead of don't just sit there, do something, it's don't just do something, sit there. Sit there and be in God. We need to wholly stop what we're doing, because here's the truth, addicts can't be trusted with a little bit. My brother reminds me of this. He said to me one time, we were having lunch together. My brother is an alcoholic. And I said, do you mind if I order a beer? He said, of course. He said, you're not an addict, I am. I can't have one beer. You can. And we're addicted to our busyness. We hustle to gain our self-worth. So we need to stop completely, stop wholly what we are doing so that we can rest wholly. Rest completely. We rest wholly so that we can wholly rest. And only when we wholly rest can it become a holy rest. H-O-L-Y. A rest with our Lord. Because we all get tired. Exhausted. And when we're tired, we don't function very well. When we're tired, what we need is a time of rest with the Lord where we trust in God, receive our inspiration from God, are rescued by God, enjoy our God, and give doxology or praise to God. So I'm going to pause for a minute over each of these to trust in God. So the Lutheran confessions talk about trust as what faith is. Faith is not some power we wield like a sword. That's the sword of the Spirit. Faith is a thing that trusts in the promises of God. So the Lutheran confessions use this language of trust. Faith is rather whereby we grasp onto the promises of God. So this is the picture that the confessions are painting for us. The rope is God's promises, and we're holding on for dear life. And sometimes we feel like that, don't we? You ever see those pictures where they're rescue, like search and rescue, they're pulling somebody out of the drink and they're hanging by that rope underneath the helicopter? Because what's in the water is scraps and bits of boat, best remains of our attempt to conquer the sea and probably sharks. And that's a beautiful image of trust, of faith. It's this trust like that. It's a beautiful image. But I want to show you a better one. And again, I got this from Pastor Haug. This is a better picture of what trust looks like. Because let me show you something. What I can do with a chair that I can't do with a rope. Because if I let go of a rope, you know what happens? Splash! But look what I can do with a chair. The chair can bear all my weight. And we learn about this kind of trust in God from the Scriptures. We learn to trust Him with everything, that He can get His work done without us. So I'm going to preach the rest of my sermon the way you get to enjoy it. I'm going to trust in God. while I sit here. And here's what I want you to understand. As to riff a little bit on Luther in the Small Catechism, he says, you know, we don't say, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, because it's not like God's will isn't going to be done. I got news for you. Revelation 21 and 22 that we just heard, that's coming. That's assured. We're praying to God that we're part of what He's doing in it. We're asking that God change us so we're part of what He's doing on earth as it is in heaven. The new Zion is coming. That's why we're marching there. And so we look forward to the fulfillment of God's promises, knowing He is strong enough and faithful enough to do it. We learn about this from God's inspired word. And inspiration is another thing we need to be on a holy retreat with God. Now, of course, like I said, Scripture is the first place. You do learn it. It's a beautiful thing. But you know those other places you can get inspiration? If the Christian tradition has anything to teach us, one of them is to simply connect with God's creation. Medieval Christians said God wrote two books, the book of nature and the book of Scripture. We can enjoy both. This is just a riff on Romans 1. We can connect with God. Here's bad news. You can't connect with God and His creation through the opening screen on your computer when you open it up in the morning, no matter how nice the picture is. You want to get out and smell the smells, see the sights, feel the breeze on your face. Enjoy connecting with God through the goodness of His creation. You can also connect with a friend. Now, I have lots of friends. I have friends I do karate with. I have friends I play guitar with. I have friends I get together with from high school, and we share old stories, and sometimes we share an adult beverage. But those aren't the ones I go to for inspiration. I go to my Christian friends for inspiration because they know the Lord too. And they can remind me of the promises of God. They can help me and challenge me and restore me when I've been a little broken down by life. And another way we can be inspired is by an encounter with the arts. God has gifted certain people with the ability to look at an aspect of His creation and make all the rest of us see or experience it in a way we never have before. We just prayed for, well, actually didn't pray for, we remembered a bunch of them and thanked God for them this past week. Hymn writers and liturgists. But this happens whether you love sculpture or painting or music or dance, you can connect with God and have Him restore you a bit through those things. We need inspiration. God, the word inspiration means to in spirit. God breathing His spirit back into us when our souls have gotten withered and decayed, just like He did that little clay man in Genesis 2. Inspiration. It's putting a heart back into us. The word courage means heart. Inspiration is literally putting the heart back into us. And of course, we learn about God's heart for us from the Scriptures is portrayed there. Also in the Scriptures is portrayed for us the rescue of God. When we are completely without resource, God can rescue us. In Genesis, right after this event, Genesis 3 happens. We heard Genesis 1 about the creation. Genesis 3, we hear about the fall of humanity. But tucked right in there with God's judgment of our sin and God's prescription for its cure is this little line where He says, By the way, the son of that woman will crush the head of the serpent who just tricked you and made you lose eternity. That's what we're going to celebrate 2 weeks from today at Easter. God tucked His rescue right into the middle of His judgment at the beginning, and He does it all throughout the Scriptures, all throughout the prophets. As the people fell away and came under the heel of false gods, He rescued them. And finally, of course, Jesus will rescue us from sin, death, and the devil by entering into the very gates of hell and coming out triumphant. Rescue is a picture of God carrying us and helping us triumph even unto the final battle. When it seems darkest in the book of Revelation is when the new heavens break in and everything is restored for eternity. He will rescue us. And rescue involves him carrying us. I think that's why the footsteps poem is so popular. Because there's nothing of us in it. God carrying us. God carries us when we're weak. He carries us when we're doing our best to crucify him afresh. He carries us when we're lost and alone, when we've been canceled by our friends, when we've been abandoned at our post. He comes and rescues us. And I think that's why we have such joy in him. Enjoy, same like inspiration, right? You enjoy something, you take joy in it. This is why lovers love. They have joy in each other's presence. Now, I think another great thing about the footsteps poem is the beach thing, right? When you talk about everyone going on vacation, this is one of the most popular images of vacation. I'm going to go enjoy myself. I got to tell you, I don't like sand. It gets everywhere. On the chair, I could probably, with a book, I'm probably okay. But what I do love about the beach is when the sun bakes you through and everything feels like it works again without aches and pains, and that half a second before you get too hot and sweaty. Joy is what you get in that moment. And we are called to enjoy our God. As the Westminster Catechism says, what's the chief end of humanity? To love God and enjoy him forever. We take joy in God's presence. That's why I love this picture. Jesus just hanging out with Dad, enjoying his presence. I also love this picture because it reminds me of a night in the Black Hills of South Dakota in 1999 when I was with my youth group out there, and I knew in a few short months I'd be leaving behind these kids that I loved to go off to seminary. But that night, I just sat on a rock that looked almost like that one with my guitar. We sang songs and sang praises to God, and we were all in that moment of joy with him and with each other. There's lots of different ways to enjoy your time with God. You know what works best for you. But joy in God's presence is a special gift to the baptized members of the body of Christ and something we don't want to squander, a crucial part of our inheritance. We make sure we spend all the time with him we would spend with anyone we love, taking joy in his presence. And honestly, that's where it brings us to praise. Doxology is just a fancy theological word for praise. And praise is central to worship. You've probably noticed that. Whether you prefer to chant and bow and move around and smoke the room up, or whether you like to raise your hands in a light show and smoke machines provided up front, praise is part, is a central, crucial part of worship. This is why God instructs us to praise him. Not because he needs it. He's not an egotist who needs to be flattered. Our praises don't help him at all. He doesn't feel bad about himself. It's not how it works. Praise is good for us, because praise is what you do. Why do lovers praise one another? Because they have joy in each other. Why do friends praise each other? Because they love one another. Why, if I ask you what your favorite song is, do you not need two promptings to share with me what you love about it and say, hey, let me pull it up on my phone and you can listen to it, because you enjoy it. We praise the things we love. This is why at the communion liturgy, we always begin with, it is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you. Salutary means it's good for us. It's healthy. And the trick, or the secret, of resting with God is to carry around that experience of worship with us all the days of our lives. When, in our gospel reading today, Jesus' parents came looking at him frantic after days and days of him missing, he said, "Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house?" When we rest often enough, when we worship God often enough, that's why we come back here, is to refresh ourselves so that we can carry the experience of praise, the promises of God, out into that busy, crazy life we have and be fortified when it's time to get on the football field and put in our laps. Little by little, we can carry it around in our hearts so that when we get tired, we can be restored. We can learn how to rest with God, trusting completely in Him. Like I said, this is trust. Being inspired by Him, His Spirit inside of us and strengthening us from the inside out. Trusting that He can rescue us from the darkest paths that we end on. Come on, there it is. We need to enjoy that time we spend with Him so we can praise Him as He deserves in doxology that will begin here on earth and continue into the New Jerusalem forever. That's how we can rest in God. That's where we'll find a holy rest. And when we've found a holy rest, we can find that we have rested wholly. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Lord, we know we're called to responses, and sometimes those responses test the edges of what we think we can do. But you haven't called us to go and strain ourselves so that we can have a few days away at the end of months and months of labor and frantically hope that that changes our lives and our hearts. You have called us to rest in You so that the work we do proceeds from our rest in You. It's done by Your energy, according to Your love, in Your good time. So bless us, Lord, to remember to stop completely what we think is so necessary, to do the one thing necessary. Let You pour Your love and promises and Spirit back into our hearts that we might be renewed. Help us to rest wholly in You and have a holy rest. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Be Thou my best art in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light.